The thoughts that I will bring forward to you today, brethren, the title is Great is Our Father. But actually, this is a love story. This is really a love story from God to you. It's a compilation of several talks that I've done in the past and put it together, reworked it many times. So that's why I want to call it a love story. You know, we don't have the ability or the proper words to express our love for our Heavenly Father. Perhaps that David comes the closest to this exceeding and precious task. And today, our thoughts are going to center around the Psalms 144, but we're going to start these thoughts in verse 8, in the 8th Psalm. And David says, Lord, Lord, oh, how majestic is thy name in all the earth, who has displayed thy splendor above in the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, thou hast established strength. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou dost care for him? And the son of man that thou dost care for him? Yea, thou hast made him a little lower than God, and dost crown him with glory and majesty. Thou dost make him to rule over all the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. These words of David, so blessed, coming to us from thousands of years in the past, reveal things that transpire thousands of years from his time into the future. He was touched by the Holy Spirit to reveal these things to you and I. Did not God himself say that David was a man after his own heart? We find this expression in 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter and the 14th verse. This was the point of transition for King Saul, for he had disobeyed the commandments of the Lord. Hence, Samuel spoke these words to him in the 14th verse. He says, but now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you to do. Brethren, have you ever walked into a nursery to see the little babies lying in their cribs? Babies who were just a thought, then smaller than the naked eye could see, yet began to be formed by the power of God to develop into a viable human who then also could worship our Heavenly Father. Or yet even this, to observe subatomic particles so small, brethren, that you would need a 30,000 power electronic microscope to appreciate them. Or to look into the heavens through the Hubble telescope to see millions of galaxies which have no end, and yet our planet is no more than a speck of sand on the seashore. Yet, the Ancient of Days, as the prophet Daniel calls our Father, is in complete control, even marking the sparrow's fall. In the truly great and poetic words of the prophet Isaiah, we read these majestic words which extol the greatness of our Father. Chapter 12, we quote, then you will say on that day, I will give thee thanks, O Lord, for although thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou dost comfort me Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And in that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Make them remember that his name is exalted. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel, unquote. Brethren, this is an absolutely a beautiful picture of the kingdom spoken by the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 21, verse 10. And he says, and he carried me away. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal, clear jasper. Then we move to verse 22. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb. In our text, in fact, the entire chapter 145 of Psalms is a glorious picture of the established kingdom of which we pray for this day. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And oh, brethren, do we pray that so much today with all the sin and evil and sadness and sickness that's in the world today. We pray for thy kingdom to come. In verse 5 of our 145th Psalm, we read, O glorious splendor of thy majesty, and on thy wonder works I will meditate. You know, no better place in scripture do we find the awesome power and control of the entire universe by God than in the book of Job. Here we pick up the conversation between Job and God after Job's friends had blamed him for everything. God began to address Job personally in chapter 38, proving to him that he, God, is in control of everything. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, can you imagine God talking to you, brother? We continue. Who is this that darkness counsels by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man. Brethren, he is also speaking to you and I today. And he says, and I will ask you and you will instruct me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases set? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy? Brethren, we take all of this for granted because we see and experience it all the days of our life without realizing the majesty and the power behind it all. He continues, or who enclosed the sea with doors? Have you ever stood at the seashore and marveled at the controlled water, here and no further? When bursting forth, it went out from the womb, when I made a cloud its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band. And I placed the boundaries on it, and I set a bolt and doors and said, thus far you shall come and no further, and here you shall stop your proud waves. And he goes on to say to him, can you bind the chains of the Pleiades or loose the cords of Orion, These are the stars in the heavens. Can you lead a constellation in its season and guide the bear with her satellites? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? In other words, what makes it work? In the book of Amos, we learn more of our Creator and the heavens above. We look to Amos, the 5th chapter and the 8th verse. Amos says, "He who made the Pleiades and Orion and changes deep darkness into morning, who also darkens the day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surfaces of the earth. The Lord is his name." In the time of Job and Amos, these constellations could only be seen by the naked eye. But today, we have powerful telescopes reveal to us the distance these stars are from the earth. The Pleiades are 444.2 light years from earth. And if you want to know how far that is in miles, it is 5,879 times the 10th power times 12 miles. An interesting fact is that the Pleiades can be seen by all of humanity anywhere on earth. And they're often referred to as the heavenly seat. Another name associated with this group of stars called the Pleiades is the Seven Sisters. There are seven major star configurations in the constellations. There's a very obscure verse in the book of Revelation that might tie in with this name. It's found in Revelations, the 1st chapter, in the 16th verse, and goes like this. "Now the scriptures allude to the church as the bride of Christ, hence feminine, verse 16. And in his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in its strength." We realize that the seven periods or conditions of the church or bride are represented by the seven messengers to the church. Jesus is shown as holding or guiding these periods of the bride, as indicated by his holding these stars in his hand. And for these seven periods, there were seven messengers which were chosen who would enlighten these periods of the church according to the Father's will. Job, like we, was learning a huge lesson. We are never to question the Almighty on anything he puts in our path of life. Finally, the conversation between God and Job began to wind down in the 40th chapter. And the Lord said to Job, "Will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? Let him who reproves God answer it." The book of Job's life in many ways and many times parallels the life of the saints. Not only was Job a wise man and a judge, but he was very obedient to the Heavenly Father and one who trusted explicitly. Job finally answered back humbly. He says, "Behold, I am insignificant. What can I reply to thee? I lay my hands on my mouth once I have spoken, and I will not answer even twice, and I will add no more." A side note on the life of Job and that of Enoch was the fact that much was revealed to these servants of God. In the case of Enoch, he was given knowledge of the coming saints thousands of years before the event would even take place. With Job, he made this startling statement concerning the Redeemer in Job 19:23. "Oh, that my words were written, Oh, that they were transcribed in a book with an iron stylus and lead. They were engraved in the rock forever. And as for me, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, he will take his stand on the earth. Brethren, what is astounding about this statement is, this is the first place in Scripture where the word Redeemer is used. This understanding by Job had to have been revealed by the Almighty. The Bible, as we know it, has been published in over 670 languages worldwide. The New Testament in over 1,521 languages. No book has ever been published more than the Bible. In the book of Luke, we find how powerful the Bible would become, the words of God to mankind. Chapter 19, verse 37. And as he was now approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the multitude said to him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he answered and said to them, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. We are told in Isaiah, the 55th chapter and the 11th verse of God, So shall my word be which goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the manner for which I sent it. In our theme chapter of Psalms 145, we have in one verse 9, the Lord is good to all. There's a beautiful picture of Israel shown in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, which we believe is again a picture of the coming kingdom and how the Lord will again have mercy on Israel, starting with verse 3. The Lord appeared to him, that's Israel, from afar, saying, I have loved you with everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. And I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O Virgin of Israel. And you shall take up your tambourines and go forth to the dances of the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant vineyards, and you shall enjoy them. For there shall be a day when watchmen on the hills of Ephraim shall call out, Arise, and let us go up to Zion. His mercy is unending. Praise the Lord. In the book of Hosea, we see the great love God has for his people Israel. Chapter 2, verse 19. And he says, I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord, and it will come about in that day that I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the heavens, and they will respond to the earth, and the earth will respond to the new wine and to the oil, and they will respond to Jezreel, and I will sow her for myself in the land. I will have compassion on her who hath not obtained compassion. And I will say to those who were not my people, You are my people. And they will say, Thou art my God. We are blessed. We are blessed of all people on earth. For the Lord of hosts has shared with us, we little mortals, some of his great deeds and his plans to come. Walk down the street, brethren, and select anyone and share with them the plan of God and watch their reaction Will they say, are you crazy? Or will they say, why, that's just too good to be true? Then these we witness to today will be the ones we will help come to God in the kingdom if we are faithful. It's a great responsibility, but with the Lord's help, we will succeed. There are three great words used in the scriptures, which if we make as part of our life, will guide us to stand before the Creator and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. These three words are faith, obedience, and the greatest of these is love. These words of action exemplify the life of Jesus. If we are to be like him, these words must become ingrained in our character. In Psalms 145, beginning with verse 10, we see the church glorifying thy name. All thy works shall give thanks to thee, O Lord, and thy godly ones shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known the sons of men thy mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of thy kingdom. And thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endures throughout all generations. During this gospel age, the calling of the church is to be accomplished, and we realize this calling is of God. Those whom God selects, like Peter, when Jesus asked him, whom do you say that I am? And he answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him that God had revealed this to him. And likewise for us, dear brethren, when we have been selected by God, he will not, let me emphasize this, he will not let us go. As Jesus states in John 6:44, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And he says, I will raise him up on the last day. This word draw literally means to drag. God will not let you go. Even when you stumble, he will raise you up. The Lord sustains all who fail and fall and raises them all up who are bowed down. In the book of Luke, there's a powerful story which is often overlooked, but it demonstrates the power of God's love towards all who have been called. It's a very familiar story, but I want to share it with you today. Let's turn to the chapter 15 of Luke and learn again of this wonderful mercy and love of our Heavenly Father that is shown in this parable. To set up this lesson, we'll start with verse 4 of this chapter. He says, what man among you, if he has 100 sheep, has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he says, he lays it on his shoulder, and he rejoices. This is a representation of God's intentions and purposes. Now let's look at how he will react to those he has called to be part of his family. And this again is very familiar, but brethren, it really pertains to you and I in a strong way. This is about the prodigal son. But in reality, brethren, it's about you and I. These are the words of Jesus, who knows the mind of our Heavenly Father intimately and expresses it for you and I. And he said these words. A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. And he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together, went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate and with loose living. This example Jesus gives us is about as severe it gets as it gets. Who among us has not in some way fallen away from the comfort and security of the loving arms of our Father? Some in minor matters, some in extreme matters. In this parable, the wayward son finally comes to his senses by showing a broken and contrite heart. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But here I am dying with hunger. The strong point here is that he exhibited a truly repentant heart. This is the same attitude of a changed heart that David expressed, for he too had committed some very, very terrible things. Verse 20. And he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. He felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. He says, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Listen. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they begin to be merry. Who of us today has not stumbled and committed sin? But by the grace and mercy of God, we arose and returned to our Father. God will never let us go. Only we ourselves can remove ourselves from his hand. As David says, great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Brethren, we're here today because we've been called of the Lord. We come from all walks of life, have completely different life experiences. Yet we all have a common goal, and that is to worship and extol the name of God, who has called us out of the darkness and sin of this world, and placed us in his marvelous light of truth and love. Do we stumble and fall from time to time? Do we fail and fall back in time and time? Yes. But he will lift us up and drag us back to him and hold on to us with his loving embrace. And we will be covered by Christ's robe of righteousness. I'm sure each one of us will remember when the light begins to shine in our lives and we begin to see the goodness and love of God. For myself, it was like coming out of a dark room and the door slowly began to open and the rays of light began to shine upon me and my eyes of understanding began to open. Praise be to God, our Father. When man flew to the moon and looked back on the earth, this view of this beautiful earth, it was the only planet that was draped in living color, vibrant, alive, a gleaming jewel hung on the foundations fashioned by God. Verse 5 of our psalm speaks of the goodness and the glorious splendors of thy majesty, and on thy wonderful works I will meditate. And this trip of man to the moon was only possible because of the exactness of their plotted orbits based on the unchangeable mathematics of his established laws. The smallness of man is reflected by the greatness of God. We realize that our earth is spinning at 67,000 miles an hour. Mankind has accomplished many great things. The television, the computer, electronics, and digital communications such as that we're using today, and satellites that circle the globe, all because they utilize the fixed laws of God. I remember, like my mother used to say to me, yes, mankind has done many great things, but he still can't make a blade of grass. And finally, we can say the Lord is righteous in all of his ways and kind in all of his deeds. The Lord is near to all of us who call upon his name in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praises of the Lord, and all the flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. And this summarizes our love letter from God. Amen.